If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Please get involved today.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 119, verse 24. You know, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. And verse 24 says this, "Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors." Well, I hold in my hands this morning the Life Counsel Bible, Practical Wisdom for All of Life. And this is a new Bible out from Holman and the Christian Standard Bible. And it's got some great stuff in it. And we are privileged today to talk to one of the key contributors, Dr. Ed Welch. And Dr. Welch is a licensed psychologist, has a Master of Divinity degree, faculty member at Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, has counseled for over 40 years. Dr. Chris Schroeder is with me in the studio this morning, as Dr. Ed Welch is one of his heroes in the faith. And so, Dr. Welch, thank you for coming on the program today.
Well, Jeff, it's great to be with you this morning. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, so tell us about this Bible. How did this come to be, Dr. Welch?
The short version is that there was a publisher, New Growth Press, that was accumulating a number of short articles by very, very fine pastors and biblical counselors, and they were being accumulated into small little mini books. And we saw it as an opportunity to insert many of those in the context of the Holman Bible. So that's the short of it. It's many, many people who have done really fine work over a number of years, and it was all brought together.
Amen. Well, I have a hardback cover, and Dr. Chris Schroeder, who does a lot of counseling for us as our teaching pastor, he's got the leather-bound cover, and a little more attractive than mine.
Yeah, and it's got the index. I got the index on the side, too.
So what do you like about this Bible as opposed to a different kind of study Bible?
Well, the Holman is a nice translation. It's very accessible. My family uses various translations, but with my children and my grandchildren, I think that is the one that's most accessible. So it has a very accessible translation. The other is that at particular select points in Scripture, there is a very short article showing how that particular Scripture really hits the ground in our struggles today. The Scripture, obviously, it's the Word of God. He speaks to us in all our situations. But the reality is that sometimes it's challenging, especially as you go through the Old Testament, to make the connections between what's happening then and what's happening now. And I think those articles are ways to show the connection that God is speaking to us now through this wonderful ancient text, because the Spirit is with us now, making these words alive.
Amen. Now there are 150 different articles. Is that right?
I think about there. I haven't counted them, but I've been told it's around that many. Yes.
And how many did you write, Dr. Ed?
Well, Jeff, you're asking me tough questions now. I'm not quite sure how many I wrote. I suspect maybe around 8 to 10, something like that.
Is that right? Good. Well, then it has word studies. I find those to be fascinating as people are reading the Scripture, but it's a different kind of Bible. It's a different kind of study Bible. You do have, which I think is very, very helpful, you do have introductions to every one of the books of the Bible, because Dr. Welch, as you said, if we don't know context, it's really hard. The Bible starts, especially in the Old Testament, because it covers such a long period of time. It's important to know what's going on before you start reading that particular book, a prophet, Nahum, or something like that. You got to know the history so it can make sense.
That's for certain. The reality is that it is obviously a good thing to be in Scripture daily, and the Word of God is our bread. It's our life. The thing that sometimes we don't identify quite as much is it is a hard work. It's prayerful work for the Scripture to really come alive to the struggles we have today. So we're just trying to move that particular principle forward, that the Scripture speaks to us. And it speaks deeper than we would anticipate, and its reach, it goes farther than we anticipate. Sometimes I think we think the Scripture is our guarantee of eternal life, where we're on our own for how do we live in today's marriage problems and family problems and emotional problems. But if we have a God who loves us and he speaks life to us, then we anticipate that he's going to speak into these things.
Amen. So, Dr. Welch, how did you come to know Christ in your life?
I grew up in a Christian home with wonderful Christian parents and a very fine church. But I would say that in my life, there was a clear distinction between knowing the stories of Scripture and following the Christ of Scripture. And it probably wasn't until really the last couple months of my time in university where, to make a long story short, through reading the Scripture, I became persuaded that not only was I doing things that were wrong, but it was, you know, the psalmist, against you and you only have I sinned. And my need for Christ became very apparent there. And at that very moment, I at least postponed some of my vocational plans. And I thought, this Bible is amazing stuff. It's very, very powerful. And whatever I want to do, I want to know this Bible better. So that's why I went off to seminary, because I didn't have necessarily vocational plans. I simply wanted to know Scripture better, and it was a luxury for those 3 years of study in seminary.
Mm. Now, how did you get involved as a ministry and as a vocation in counseling?
I would say that in some ways, the church in the 1900s was occupied in different fronts than the care of souls. And then there were really good fronts. One was liberalism was coming in, and how do we defend the sufficiency of Scripture and the authority of Scripture and the inerrancy of Scripture? So that was certainly where good minds were being addressed. The other was how do we think about the end times, because things seem like they're horrible. But I do think that in the midst of those preoccupations, which were obviously very good, the care of souls tend to languish a bit. You'll find that, especially from the 1950s through the 1980s, you don't find a lot of good books on how Scripture speaks to the current problems of life. So I came to seminary in the 70s, and people were beginning to ask that question while I was in seminary. How does this speak to everything in life? If this is really God's word, it speaks, again, it's deeper, it's farther. How does it speak to everything? That question was in the air again, and I caught the bug, and as soon as I caught it, I was thinking, boy, if I could choose what I wanted to do, this is what I would do. And it just so happens that I guess I would call myself a biblical counselor, but my job is enviable, I think, and it's probably what every Christian wants to do, either avocationally or vocationally, and it's how does God speak to these particular problems today? Because we all obviously have daily struggles. In this world, you will have trouble. So that's, you know, that's our job as believers. How does God speak to us now in these particular predicaments?
Yeah. Well, I like that. So, Dr. Welch, as I think back, you know, back, I'm 61 years old, and back, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you didn't hear about Christian counselors, really. If you had a problem, you'd go talk to your pastor, but it wasn't like there were just Christian counselors in the Yellow Pages like there are today. Why do you think, as you mentioned, back in the 50s through, you know, the 70s, you didn't have a lot of that, and why have we seen such a proliferation of that just in the last 20, 30 years?
The question is, do we have more problems now than we did 20 or 30 years ago? Or are we speaking about those problems more mm-hmm. than we once did? Jeff, I would say that it's both of those things. I think we are a little bit more open to speak about the struggles that we have. But when you look at people who are trying to gauge the kinds of troubles and the extent of those troubles that we have, Christians and non-Christians, it seems like there are simply more of them now. So I think that's one reason why you find counselors now that you didn't before. The other is that in some ways we think of counseling as the best of counseling in some ways is like an extension of Ephesians chapter 4, where Ephesians chapter 4 says that pastors do the work of ministry, but they equip the body of Christ to do the work of ministry. So to think of counseling or biblical counseling or Christian counseling, think first about the normal conversations we have over a course of a week when we ask somebody to pray for us. That would sort of ground it in sort of normal things rather than make it a distant professional idea. The basic idea of needing care from other people is that we are needy people who we need Christ day after day. And Jesus has determined that in this era that we will also rely on his people, as his people are the hands and feet of Christ to us. So I'm just trying to sort of make counseling a little bit more ordinary. Sometimes it's a professional context, but it's really simply acknowledging that we need help and we seek it. And more often we seek it from a spouse or a friend or somebody in a small group or from a pastor. Sometimes the help seems to be chronic and then just plain old persistent. And sometimes we're looking for somebody who can meet with us more frequently. So it's not that unusual. It's simply needing help and there are believers who seek the help.
Well, and let me ask you this, because with the proliferation of counselors that are available, it's very important for a person who is hurting, who's in need, to get good counsel, good biblical counsel, not just counseling. How would you direct somebody to make sure they're getting good, solid counseling?
Yeah, that's a great question. Help can be good and solid and biblical. Help might not be. That's just the way we are as human beings. So I think there are a few ways that we can seek good help. You know, one is that at first, I think all of us should be thinking, every week I want to be asking somebody for prayer. So I realize that seems like a distant way from evaluating the quality of counseling, and is it really using Scripture? But I think that's really where we start. Are we asking for prayer? And who is that one person who you trust, have confidence that he or she will pray for you? So that's what all of us, that's the normal Christian life. There are times where sometimes, again, the problem is longer standing, and it doesn't seem to be going away. And so we're looking for more consistent help, something more weekly over a longer period of time. How would we find such a person? Well, we ask around. We ask our pastor and see if our pastor has recommendations. We talk to our friends to see if they've spoken to somebody. And what are we looking for? They come out having sought Christ a little bit more keenly. they have a little bit more confidence that Scripture truly speaks to the depths of their heart. And they cry out to the Lord more often. That would be, in a sense, the fruit, I think, of a good counselor. Other things that you might find, I think one would be, does the person speak of Jesus to you?
Amen.
And do
Amen.
They pray for you? Ordinary ways that...
Dr. Ed, let me cut in real quick. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Dr. Ed Welch, and the Bible is called the Life Counsel Bible. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Ed Welch, and the new Bible is out, the Life Counsel Bible, Practical Wisdom for All of Life. It's the Christian Standard Version, and it's just got some great articles and introductions to every book of the Bible. And it's got word studies in it, and Dr. Ed Welch is one of the key contributors. And so we're talking to him about counseling, because life is filled with problems. As Job said, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil, full of trouble, full of problems. And Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, John 16:33. But be of good courage, I have overcome the world. So Dr. Welch, let me ask you this question. It seemed like James Dobson hit the scene in, the 70s or so, and he seemed to have answers for people that they maybe weren't getting from the church. And then he became the guru, especially for young parents, because he wrote the great book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. And then you had guys like Gary Smalley, and they seemed to have... They were just coming at it from a different point of view, or maybe from a different angle than the pastor was. How did you see that, or how do you see that? And is there a danger in that if you get away from getting it from your pastor at your church, who's been trained at the seminary and knows what the Word of God says?
I think one of the, Jeff, I'll be interested in your perspective on this as a pastor. One of the practical guidelines that we could follow is, if we are getting help from the world around us, well, some of that help is going to be better, and sometimes it is going to be less wise. So if we find helpful things around us, we always want to bring that back to Scripture. Okay, well, how does Scripture speak to that? And who better to help us with that question than a pastor? So I think one of the things we can do is, just normally in life, is we get help. We find help from anywhere we can, but then we always bring it back home to Scripture and just, hey, Pastor, could I meet with you on this? I've been hearing this. I've been thinking about this. Is this a wise way to go? That kind of lifestyle, I think, would be a good tradition. Jeff, your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I would think it would be very important. And I think, too, Dr. Ed, so I've learned a lot from Gary Smalley, learned a lot reading his books about marriage. I learned a lot from James Dobson. Those guys are both solid biblical guys. You know, Gary's in heaven now. But then you can have a guy like Dr. Phil. Well, Dr. Phil can say some good things. He can encourage people to forgive those who hurt him. But I don't know a lot about his spiritual background, and so it's like, well, what are you basing this on? And I guess that's the real question. When you go to a counselor, where are you getting your information, and what are you basing that on? Would you say that's a good test?
Yeah, that simple question. Does the counselor come back to the question, okay, now we understand something of what it's like for you. What is it that God says? How does he speak to us through his word? That's, in some ways, that's the litmus test. And that's what we're looking for as Christians. The final question is, what is it that Scripture says? Or if we want to take our lesson from the Apostle Paul, the question is, how does Jesus Christ and him crucified, how does that speak to this particular problem? That's where Paul would challenge us. So that would be true biblical counseling, to have those questions as fundamental.
Okay, so you're training, because you're a psychologist. How much did you learn in school, Dr. Welch, that you would say, yeah, that wasn't good, or that conflicted with what the scripture says, or that was kind of going off the rails?
Well, that's a good question. Some things were helpful and some things that were they weren't helpful. Part of my education was actually in brain sciences and how does the brain affect our behavior. So I did find that to be very helpful. But a lot of the counseling that I was taught in some ways, it reminded me of Ecclesiastes, where if you try to work only under the sun, and under the sun, I'm assuming in Ecclesiastes, is saying, okay, let's not consider who God is in the midst of this. Let's
right.
just work with the world as we see it. Well, the natural consequence of that is, well, we might as well either live in despair or eat, drink, and be merry, because ultimately there's nothing in what we do that has any meaning. There's nothing that can survive death itself. Death extinguishes everything. Well, I think that's ultimately where all secular counseling takes us. It might have some good techniques that can decrease suffering in some way, but ultimately the benefits of those all die when we die. And so as a result, what does the writer of Ecclesiastes say? That we want to consider who is our God and we walk with him. That's where life has meaning and purpose, and it extends even into eternity itself. So that's, I think, in one way we can use Ecclesiastes as a template for understanding secular care. Sometimes it can be helpful, but it misses the fundamental reality, the most critical reality of all life, that is God himself.
Amen. I like that. How about the question? I've had this conversation with Charles Lowry. He's a psychologist, Dr. Charles Lowry, and he was pastor for a long time, and now he speaks in different places. But we were talking about the situation with Rick Warren's son, who committed suicide, had mental illness. And one of the things I remember saying to Charles was, listen, the Bible promises peace for the child of God. That's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. I realize that some people can get mental illness, but it seems to me that is something that we can claim as believers as we surrender our lives to the Lord, as we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. And, you know, physical healing might not be there, but mental, emotional healing is a promise from Scripture. Dr. Welch, how do you see that?
Well, Jeff, you're identifying how the Christian life is a complicated life, where, keep going back to that John passage, in this world you will have trouble. And certainly the New Testament is very clear that we will live with misery in this life. So the question you're identifying is a challenging one. Can we be confident that if we know Christ and walk with him, that our anxieties, our depression, our bipolar struggles, whatever they might be certain that they will be gone? Well, in some ways, I think that would be similar to saying, can following Christ remove our sufferings? Well, it doesn't remove our sufferings, because we know that if one summer suffering is gone, we will have another. So the complexity of life in Christ is this, that in this world we will know anxieties and fears, but how do we grow in Christ and turn to him and increasingly find comfort? In this world, we will know depression. Spurgeon is a great illustration of that. Mm-hmm. Well, here obviously is a man who sought Christ and preached Christ, and he speaks about his own melancholy or depression as a way to inform us that you can be a follower of Jesus and you can be in the depths that are so low it feels impossible to get out of it. So what do? We seek Christ in the midst of that. And sometimes it will feel like peace, and sometimes it's a battle to try to find it. So that's the complexity of of life in Christ, where we will be prone to the struggles that the world has. Maybe to use one particular passage, 2 Corinthians 4:16, it talks about how the body can waste away. And I think depression sometimes is a body and brain that is not working correctly. But the inner man can be renewed day by day. That's the complex life that we want to be aiming for. That somehow in Christ, even in the midst of depression, we can know something of the comfort of Christ. We can know something of the life-giving the promises of God, which would include peace. So that's, how do you have both of those? I think that's what we're wrestling with right now. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah. What do you think about the, we hear mental illness. One of the things we don't hear about from, the powers that be is demonic possession. Now, we read about that in the New Testament over and over and over again, but we don't ever talk about that now. You know, when I see these people in New York City pushing strangers in front of a subway to be killed, and you think, well, they have mental illness. Well, maybe they have demonic spirits that are doing that through them. How do you see that? And in your long counseling career, have you encountered some people that you thought were demon-possessed?
That's a great question and a challenging one. I think, from my perspective, since I don't believe that I have been granted any unique discernment in being able to consider whether something is demon possession or not, I tend to rely on what is at least, I think, clearer in Scripture, where here are Satan's devices. In the garden, we find him in Eden, and we find his strategies throughout Scripture. He will raise questions about the goodness of God. Does he really care? Is he simply trying to make our life just a little bit more miserable by keeping us from good things? So Satan's prominent power seems to be in his lies, how we are susceptible to his lies. Then he'll do the same thing with sin. Is sin really that bad? Perhaps it's a way to have even more insight. And wouldn't you prefer to be the God of your own life rather than under the God who tells you to do these things? So there's some of Satan's lies. And then when we move off and indulge our own sins, then Satan's lie is, well, now you are doomed. There is no forgiveness of sins. And why would God forgive your sins because you've been such a horrifying person? Those are, I think, some of the things that I am looking for underneath the bizarre behavior. Chances are the insidious ways that Satan works is the one we're all familiar with. Where are the lies of Satan and how are we buying them today? So I think many times when something is strange, we immediately think it must be Satan, but sometimes it's just strange and we don't understand what's happening. We never will quite understand, but we can say, who is Jesus? And do you believe in Christ we see the goodness of God? Do you believe that God has it in for you? Those kinds of questions. Those are places that we will find sort of the more quiet work of Satan and his devices.
Amen. Well, I know you have a book out on depression, Looking Up from the Stubborn Darkness. And I had a friend of mine, Dr. Welch, that did counseling at Champion Forest Baptist Church. And he said to me one time, he said, it's amazing to me when I counsel people, how many come in thinking they had problem X. And when we really started digging, the problem that they had was depression. Now, problem X might have been in there too, but he said they didn't realize that they were depressed. We have a lot of people taking antidepressants today. What is your view on a Christian? Because I've talked to Christians and they say, well, I don't want to take that because that seems like a cop-out and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How do you counsel people in that situation?
I'll give you the short answer, and Jeff, you can ask other questions if you'd like. I tend to think that we have this treasure chest in Scripture, and that is our focus. And there are some questions that are important questions, but we don't have to give a definitive answer to them. And one would be, should I take medication for these things, or should I not take medication for these things? I think I would lean toward, well, that's a matter of wisdom. It's not a matter of right or wrong. And so investigate. Sometimes it helps, and sometimes it doesn't help, and sometimes it actually hurts, which you can say for all kinds of medication. I think what we're aiming for is we have something more important. We have hope, where however people describe depression, depression at its center typically is hopeless. Why bother? Why bother taking another step? Life just is bleak no matter what. It's almost like all good has evacuated the world. Why bother even living? We have a scripture that speaks, that gives reasons for why we get out of bed in the morning. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. How do we pray passages like that? And how do we learn how to take these small steps of faith? So that's not quite answering your question, as you can tell. It's more how can we you could tell, yes, absolutely. But it's saying let's not lose sight of what is most important. And whether you take medication or not, it's not that's unimportant, but there are some things that are even more important that have eternal consequences. And in medication, at its best, it will make you feel a little bit better right now, but its consequences are not necessarily eternal. So what we're after as pastors of the soul, if you will, is we want to get to the words that are most powerful. We have something better, if you will. We have something that goes deeper than medication.
Amen. Amen. We're talking to Dr. Ed Welch. He's one of the principal contributors for the brand new Bible that's out, the Life Counsel Bible, Practical Wisdom for All of Life. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Dr. Ed Welch, and Dr. Chris Schroeder is in the studio with me. The brand new Bible is called the Life Counsel Bible, Practical Wisdom for All of Life. And Dr. Welch is one of the key contributors. Lots of articles, 150 articles in this Bible, along with word studies, along with introductions to every book of the Bible. And this would make for a great Christmas gift, somebody that needs to have a good, solid Bible where they can learn and grow. Dr. Welch, let me ask you about the different schools of thought in counseling. One of the big names in counseling, nouthetic counseling, when I was in seminary, was Jay Adams, and we had to read some books by Jay Adams. And so would you say that your counseling is is kind of more like him or different from the way he would do it?
Jeff, you're going to think I am not answering your question sometimes. And if you want to push me, go ahead and push me. but I think
he's kind of a controversial. He's a controversial guy.
He is. Yeah, and there are things that he did well, and there are things that he did less well. So what I learned from Jay Adams, and he certainly had a significant influence, is that one question: how does God speak to the issues of life? And that doesn't seem like a revolutionary question right now, but it was back in the 1970s. So in that sense, I share that fundamental question with him. How would I refer to myself now? I think probably as a biblical counselor or a counselor. But by biblical counselor, I think of a little B and a little C. It's not a big B and big C. It's not a brand. It's not the Welch brand. It's not the Adams brand. It's more like a Wikipedia article where every Christian should be contributing to this particular article. How does the word of Christ speak to us in a way that is more beautiful than anything we could possibly hear in the world around us? That's the core of it, and we all contribute to it. Every pastor in a sermon, they contribute to it. So I think you're right that this larger field of biblical counseling, which undergirds the articles in the Life Counsel Bible, it's a fairly broad field. We all share that God speaks, and I suspect we also share that what we're listening for is when God speaks, it should sound really, really good. It's called the gospel, and even if Scripture is saying hard things to us, the words should sound like words of life to our soul. So in some ways, that's the criteria. That's part of that litmus test for what does it mean to offer counsel from the Scripture. Well, it should point us to Jesus. It should encourage us to pray, and it should sound really, really good.
Dr. Welch, this is Chris Schroeder. I work as the counselor with Pastor Jeff at the church, and I really enjoyed your work. A lot of your books have been very helpful to me in the counseling, helping people, helping myself and helping people. Especially appreciate your book on depression and then your book on shame was very helpful. So appreciate your writing. Tell us some about your writing, and you've written so many different books, and I've heard authors say it's like giving birth when you write a book. What are some books that have been your most favorite to write? What are some of the books that have been most difficult for you to write about?
Yeah, well, I'm older now, and it seems to me if your question is how does Scripture speak to life, well, there's all kinds of things to write because Scripture is so rich in speaking. Mm-hmm. And between the struggles that I have in my own life and the struggles that I have among people I have opportunities to minister to, well, there are an endless number of books that are available. So as a writer, I enjoy writing. I find it hard work. But that question of how, I'm using that image of a treasure chest again, or a well that has this depth to it. How does Christ speak to these problems in a way that sounds better than we could have imagined? That's such a great question that it makes writing a delight. And so I've been privileged to write about these things. I would say that my favorite book is, if I would think of a favorite book, it's what is the one that probably shapes me more every day of my life. And typically that would be a later book rather than an earlier book. So I think it would be called, what's it called, Created to Draw Near, which was an extension of some of the work that I had done on shame. But the basic idea there is our God is committed to being close to us. That's the way it was in the garden, where he walked with his people. We are created to be with him. That he's created us to be close to him. The very gospel itself, Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. to bring us to God, to bring us to himself. That reality, and going through Scripture and seeing that this is the very will of God, this is his delight, this is his commitment, that has been so good for my own soul. Because I know something about myself, and my poor wife, I wouldn't want to be married to me. I know something about my own soul. So my natural tendency is to think, well, why would God love me? Why would he ever want to be close to me? He knows me better than anyone, and so why wouldn't he just want to run from me? Well, to be persuaded that God knows us and loves us is fundamental to his words to us in Scripture. And it has been the kind of rest for my soul to be confident that he indeed wants to be and desires to and is committed to being with me today. And the one thing that can separate us from him is our sins, and that's what he has done away with, the consequences of those sins that can separate. So I think I forget the names of my own books, but Created to Draw Near is one that I suspect will continue to affect me today, whereas I see that I am an imperfect person, to be able to rest, and he is with me even now. That will be a comfort to me, I'm sure.
I have to say, I'm looking at some of the lists of books. I love some of your titles. I think this is a killer title, Addictions, A Banquet in the Grave. That just makes me want to read the book.
Did you remember that title? Did you remember that you had that title?
I did remember that, yeah. And it came out of Proverbs, really came out of those first chapters of Proverbs, where it talks about how we can feel as though we have wisdom in ourselves, but it really almost uses that imagery. It's a banquet with death surrounding us, not life. I remember that one certainly.
Okay,
scripture is just filled with these amazing, powerful images, and I just try to borrow them sometimes.
Yeah. So you've had a career in the counseling room for 40 years dealing with people. What have you seen change over the 40 years with regard to, I mean, people have always had problems. Adam had problems. We all have problems. But have you seen a deepening, a worsening, kind of a Romans 1:18-32 situation with the problems that you encounter in the counseling office?
Yeah, certainly. I think I alluded to this a little while earlier that you can probably each week you can read about how there are more problems. There's more depression. There's more anxiety. Of all the different psychiatric diagnoses, you won't find one that doesn't seem to be increasing. So I think that is true. And when they talk about increasing, they talk about the sheer numbers of people and also the extent of it, the intensity of some of these problems. So I certainly believe that each era that we live in has its own particular problems, and this one certainly does. However, Chris, I think that what I find more is that, well, here's an image. One time I was worshiping in our church, and we were set up as a bit of a horseshoe. It was like a bit of a U as we were worshiping. And you know, here are people I love and know, and they're fine people, and they look all put together. But I think it was something in the song that we were singing that, you know, how some of the psalms, they speak to God, but then sometimes the voice changes and we speak to each other. I think it was part of the song where we were speaking to each other. And I was looking around and seeing these people I knew and loved, recognizing that, well, here's the image that I thought. They look fine, and there's Christ working in them, but they're sitting in a pool of their own tears. There is misery in every single life, every single day. And that probably hasn't changed over over the course of human history, then this world, you will have trouble. So Chris, I think what I find is that we live in difficult days, but we lived in difficult days 50 years ago, and we lived in difficult days 50 years ago, before that, that there is no era that feels like it's finally had more problems than anyone else. So I find that the problems and the struggles we have, the more you know someone, the more you will find that there is trouble and pain in their soul. You will find that sins hold on to them more than we would imagine. And what do I find? I find that Christ is the one who loosens the grip of sins, and Christ is the one who is the God of all comfort. And that complicated life that Jeff and I spoke about, where the misery is not guaranteed to end, but the guarantee in Scripture, at least, is it will be mingled with a kind of comfort and hope. That's what we anticipate, and that's what I have an opportunity to see as a counselor most every week. I should also say maybe one other thing, Chris, that as a professional counselor who has experience, as I look at those people who have done well and those people who have done less well, inevitably, it is because there is one person or two persons or three people in their church who love them and are praying along with them. That's what I inevitably find, where it's the body of Christ that comes around us in the midst of our struggles. That pleases the Lord for us together to be pleading for his work in another person. I find that rarely is it simply me who's involved in helping someone, but it's the larger body of Christ, and sometimes I feel like I'm sitting in the grandstands with this larger body who are applauding another person, praying for another person, and together we get to see the work of Christ in them.
We just have a couple minutes left. Dr. Welch, could you tell our listeners about CCEF and, you know, what that is and what your responsibility is with CCEF?
Well, CCEF is the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. The website is simply ccef.org that has just thousands of resources that have developed over the years. We've been at it for well over 50 years at this point. CCEF is simply that question. How does Scripture, how do the words of God speak good words to the human heart and to the problems we encounter today? That's our fundamental question. And I can speak for myself and everybody else who works there and has worked there. We are humbled that the Lord would allow that to be our life's work. It's been a great privilege to be able to do it.
Amen. Well, we just about have a minute left or so. Dr. Welch, can you just give an encouraging word to the people as it relates to the Life Council Bible and why they could benefit by picking up a copy?
Well, I think the Life Council Bible, and I've been using it recently, it reminds me, it doesn't go very far before it reminds us that, by the way, these words of Scripture, these stories, they are stories that speak to us today. So for Scripture to be able to land in the conflict that I had with my spouse or the troubles that I have with my children, whatever it might be, or the troubles that I have from my past, that I find to be very hopeful. And if perhaps this could be the goal of that particular Bible, that it causes us to pray, Jesus, I know you speak to these things. Help me. Could we ask for anything more from good Christian literature?
Amen. What a great word. Well, it's the Life Council Bible, practical wisdom for all of life. Dr. Welch, thank you so much for being my guest today. God bless you and God bless your ministry, my friend. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and Dr. Chris Schroeder was in the studio with me. It's always a pleasure to have him. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. Hey, yesterday's gone, tomorrow may not come. All we have is today, so make the most of today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.